Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And it is my 10th anniversary of recording programs under the Planet family umbrella, and so I'm very delighted to share this chat session with you. I'm not going to do a review of the 10 years. It's been very dynamic, and I've enjoyed most of the challenges and the aspects of it, even during COVID, which was a fairly extreme environment, to put it mildly. But now I'm really focused on what can we actually achieve through this program. How can we continue to raise awareness of the issues around ageism, and how that can work against people coping with older age, how it can actually interrupt their enjoyment of life, and can come as a bit of a shock when they meet it, because they're not expecting it. So I will refer to this today particularly because I think it's quite an interesting article that I've just read in the Herald about nursing education and how nursing education shapes ageist attitudes. And often when we're grappling with health issues, probably the last thing we really need is somebody patronising us, somebody treating us as though we're frail and likely to fall apart, and somebody who doesn't see our strengths. And I think that's the real sad part, that people can be so busy relating to a person as an older person that they need to creep around, or they need to talk down to, or they need to force them to do certain things in certain ways, take charge of them. All these kinds of attitudes that flow on from the idea that older people are somehow less competent, less able to manage themselves, less dynamically in charge of what they're doing, and that maybe they're not around for much longer. And it's a subtle thing. It's not something that's hitting you in the face, but it's just beneath the surface, and it comes across in attitudes that just reflect society. So nurses are no different than anyone. They absorb the societal attitudes towards older people, and as the article points out, their education should be disrupting all this. It should be forcing them to see older people in a different light, see the potential of older people to be the best they can be. And that's unfortunately not always the case. So this person, Samantha Heath, who's a senior lecturer in nursing at the University of Waikato, points out that in the early stages of the career, in the first year of training, nurses are often sent out to aged care facilities as a sort of an assumption that they're safe to let loose in this environment, and they won't be doing too much harm, and things will be pretty easy for them. An easy beginning to step into being a nurse, in inverted commas. Actually, the complexity of aged care and the complexity of casework in aged care is very great, because we've got people living longer and living with more complex conditions, and so nursing in an aged care facility can actually challenge the most experienced of nurses. So it's not an easy environment necessarily. But those are some of the assumptions on which the curriculum is built. And she goes ahead to unpack other things as well. So it's an article that set me thinking. And it set me thinking from two points of view. One, that program focuses on well-being. And our focus is deliberately on the five ways to well-being. So we put a lot of effort in our programming into who's connecting with who. How are people influencing ageism, and how are they combating it? So connecting is a very important value in our program. And giving is a very important value. We like to herald the good thoughts, as they do on television, but we tend to interview people who are making a difference, whether it's in health or whether it's in planning the future of the city, or whether it's in the way in which services are delivered. We try to select those who are displaying positive attitudes towards ageing. And in being active, all of the people who contribute to the program, who interview guests or who are guests, are people who are active. And so we focus on this dynamic because it illustrates just the very thing that we want to highlight, that older people can be fantastic, they can do amazing things, they have amazing potential, and it's wonderful to tell the good stories about things that are being done for and with older people, and not be in the blame-complain avenue, but rather in the celebratory avenue. And we want to take notice. We want to take notice of the things that are improving, as well as areas where there are shortfalls and where we think improvements can be made. So we take notice about what is actually happening on the ground, not just what the academics say or what's in the research, but practically what are people experiencing. And that's why we love to get really live panel discussions and interactions with people who are wrestling with issues out in the community. And most of all, we place emphasis on keeping on learning, whether it's people learning languages to stimulate their mind, whether it's people who commit to a regular activity for their mental well-being, like playing bridge, or whether it's people who go to U3A and want an intellectual discussion about a topic, or whether it's just people who have a special talent and it doesn't die just because they're older. And sometimes it not only enriches them, but enriches others. And sometimes they take up things in older age that they haven't done for years, or maybe never done. And I have a list of stories and people that I hold as heroes who have done exactly that. The oldest person to sail solo around the world is an 80-plus-year-old woman who started solo sailing when she was in her 50s and has made many circumnavigations of the globe, and completely unaided and completely independently. So there are people out there who do remarkable things. But sometimes the hardest things may be to make the effort to go and talk to someone in your family that you've been estranged from and you've never done for years and years. And breaking the ice, making the move to establish connection again. That can be a very difficult thing. And it's tougher than sailing around the world solo, I think, sometimes, for some of us. So I'm interested in seeing what it is that people do in order to grapple with challenges mentally. And one of my current people of interest is not a senior, but he certainly is a disruptor, and he's certainly a great advocate, and that's Dave Latelli, who was interviewed for the New Zealand Women's Weekly monthly this month by Dame Judy Bailey. And in that article, Dave puts his success down to four principles as he's followed all the way through, from setting up Butterbean Motivation, and that's his weight loss obesity program, and his public speaking career that's built around that. Butterbean Motivation principles, number one, just start. And so he really has the ultimate weapon, if you like. There's nothing that you can do to someone who's motivated to just start, because you don't have to be anywhere, you don't have to have set a goal, you don't have to have proved anything, you just start. And that's a principle that I employed right from day one when Senior Focus began. I was phoned up by the station manager and invited to set up a program that would look after the needs of seniors as listeners, and that would focus on positive aging. The program that had been made previously had been going 10 years. And so, in the natural scheme of things, people decide to retire, so the person running the program was doing just that. The gap was there, the time was there, it was a perfect time, the gin and tonic hour, Sunday 5:25, and it was going to have to be do or die. I was going to decide and do it or not. I wasn't going to have time to think about it for too long. And so I just started. I didn't think I'll be doing this in 10 years' time. I didn't think even how long it would go for. I just did not put a goal in place or any kind of end point. I just got going on that principle of just starting. And I was fortunate that people came in to help, and so I was recording once a fortnight at that point. The second principle that Dave refers to is consistency. He said it's persistence. You just set a benchmark and you keep working towards that or on it, and you don't let up. And when things get difficult, when you're challenged and when you're on the edge of your seat or wondering how you're going to pay the next lot of broadcasting fees, you don't stop. You just keep the ball rolling. You just keep things going consistently. And I think that's what we've done. I mean, it's been a struggle at times, and we're always open to people who want to sponsor our programs, people who want to make donations, and we're very keen to encourage participation in that way. But hey, if it doesn't happen, we will contribute ourselves out of our own pocket, because we believe in what we're doing so much. And that's really how Dave operates. And a third principle is that he employs is to surround himself with successful people. Not people who complain, not people who are negative, not people who are wanting to warn you about all the things that can go wrong, but people who can give you solid advice and people who will back you through whatever challenges you face. And I think it's true with the kaupapa of active aging, that we have got top quality research people. We have got people in various spheres of local government, of health, of community, that actually have got the smarts, the street smarts and the university research smarts, to be able to support us and advise us and give us strength in how we're making efforts with our programming and how we're up to date with the latest in research. And I think that's been particularly so with issues like housing that have been around now for 10 years plus. We've been in a housing crisis. And while seniors have not been the focus of the housing crisis, there have been some very classic situations where seniors have been living in sheds, living in cars, living in damp basements, and often ending up in hospital because their health has suffered as a result of their poor living conditions. And that at rock bottom is because if you don't own your own home, living on super can, renting can be a very difficult exercise. And we continue to highlight some of the issues and some of the solutions that are out there and where those solutions are being employed and how they're working. And that's through the good people that supply us with information, the good people who come on the show and come as guests. And we all do voluntary work, all of us, including myself. So none of us get paid for doing the work, but the work gets done. And I think the fourth principle that's important is that we are checking on people and how people are going. So we keep an eye out on people. People that we interview, people who've taken on advocacy challenges, people who actively are working against ageism. We keep in contact, we follow up with people. So we keep on helping, we keep on keeping an eye out for these people. And it also involves checking on ourselves, like self-care is an integral part of positive aging. I mean, we wouldn't be able to be authentic if we weren't investing in our own positive aging, if we weren't applying some of these principles about the five ways to well-being. It's quite often easy to talk about something, it's harder to practice it. And so we have to be really good role models, I think. We have to be aging actively and aging well, and we have to be doing the best we can do and be for our particular stage of life. So that puts quite an onus on us collectively. And I keep talking about us because I may be the sound of the program very often, but I couldn't be anything unless I had the backup team. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have advisors, if I didn't have other people who came and made programs, and as I've had over the last month while I've had a breathing space. A type of holiday, in fact, which it was a bit of a sabbatical, a bit of a time out. And yes, I'd had to work extra hard in the beginning to make extra programs to cover some of the weeks while I was away. But this at least gave me some choices, and it meant I've come back with renewed enthusiasm. And this aspect of self-care, I do want to focus on, because one of the movements for advocacy, the Black Panthers in the US, they set up in their wisdom one of their principles of advocacy, and an integral part of their training was self-care. They made it clear that their people wouldn't be successful in highlighting the gaps in what society wasn't doing well and in how black people were disadvantaged and so on, that they wouldn't be doing any useful work at all to shift the dial unless they themselves were giving forth the right sort of vibes, unless they were positive, unless they were well-equipped mentally to take on the advocacy challenges. And so they have been leaders in terms of influencing around the world what's the best practice in advocacy. And that was quite a few years ago that they began. So Dave Latelli has drawn on their programs in setting up what he is doing, and he's drawn on his life experience. And life is a great teacher, and when you learn from your own experience, then you are authentic. You carry something that's unique, and you give back to society through sharing your wisdom. And he does that, but he does that in a caring way, in a way where he doesn't give up on people, where he sets a bar for himself to maintain consistency, keeping on going, no matter what. So I was very moved by the article that I read on his program. I've watched aspects of his program working, for example, changing the face of obesity in South Auckland, offering an alternative to people who everyone else had given up on. And these are people who are often over 180 kg, maybe over 200 kg, and can barely walk to a letterbox or their front door. So what he's doing is not for the faint-hearted. It's not easy, and it's also in the face of the power of the environment to influence people's behaviour. I mean, the environment in South Auckland, you've got more takeaway foods, high fat, high sugar, alongside liquor stores, and there's more per square mile than any other part of Auckland. The environment is saturated with the wrong choices right under your nose. So people there, no one's forcing them at gunpoint to do what they do, but their motivation to do something different has to be enormous to be able to outweigh that environmental impact. And that's where Dave's motivational focus comes in. That's why he's chosen as a speaker on motivation, because he's just doing the impossible and making it possible. That is how I found myself during COVID, making radio through chat shows on my phone and wondering how we were ever going to be back in a studio and whether in fact I should just quietly pack up. And now 2 years on, in our new building that we own ourselves in Mount Albert, it's so amazing to think that we have come this far, and that as a program we can in fact address ageism, address societal change that's needed, address possibilities for people to get help with digital communications, because we know so many things are decided digitally. We have to make points of view, we have to make digital efforts to communicate and to seek the things we need. We want to get a passport, we want to apply for anything. Nearly always it's online. Sometimes there are alternatives, but they can be very time consuming, and if you want something done quickly, you've got to do it online. But finding where can you get the help? How can you get that help? That's difficult for a lot of people who are 50 plus, people who didn't grow up with computers. And so we can help with opening windows and doors. And we can show and tell more about the possibilities that are out there, like digital seniors, their free sessions that are available in public libraries across North Auckland, on the North Shore, and they're spreading. They're coming to East Auckland in 2026, and it's a growing movement. There are things to help in terms of the digital divide. It's not all black and white or impossible. And with transport, we're finally beginning to see public transport getting better planning and some more awareness about customer service and customer needs. And so who our local councillors are, who our local board reps are, and what local boards are doing about transport in your local area, that interests us, and we will keep following that. But I think there's also an awareness globally now that we need to focus on peace and how we can bring about a more peaceful world, that it's not going to come by accident. And we have some quite extreme situations developing on the globe, around the globe, and sometimes people wonder what they can do. And while we're not here to be an avenue for political thought, we are able to focus on those people who find ways to make a difference, actions they can take that will improve peaceful outcomes for people, whether it's within their own family or their neighbourhood or further afield. And we'll continue to focus on that. So I'm glad to be back in the seat here sharing with you, and we will look forward to having you on air with us over the Christmas break, and we'll have a variety of people contributing. Thanks for listening.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
Your community on planetaudio.org.nz.
Discover your voice at Planet FM. We're a not-for-profit, community-focused radio station offering brand new studios, training and support to help you create your own show. Whether you're a group or an individual with a story to tell, Planet FM is where your ideas come alive. Join our diverse community of creators and share your message with the world. 104.6 Planet FM. Have you got something to say? At Planet FM, we empower communities and individuals with the tools to create their own radio shows and podcasts. We provide facilities, advice and training so you can connect, create and share. It's your voice, your vision. All the information you need can be found online at planetaudio.org.nz.
wild beaches.
The number of restaurants.
I love cycling around the waterfront.
Seeing the sea and knowing that it's full of dolphins and whales.
I go tramping every weekend.
Loving Auckland.
There's always something interesting, something new to find.
The harbour is absolutely amazing.
Something's always happening.
Our diverse city.
The amazing views.
And the libraries.
Good weather, good people.
And it has great coffee.
I find it really hard to think of what's missing.